Hello, this is Bob Baker saying welcome to episode 73 of Artist Empowerment Radio. It's the podcast that provides inspiration and marketing tips and ideas for musicians, for writers, artists, and creative people of all kinds. Now, I admit I do tend to focus on musicians because they make up the core of my audience, and I've been a longtime musician myself. Most of my books are on that topic, but I like to think that much of the advice that is dished out here in the podcast applies to creative fields of all kinds. So no matter where you're coming from, I welcome you to this episode. Speaking of the podcast, I encourage you to go to iTunes and please rate and comment on the show to let me know what you think about it and also to spread the word to other people. I want to thank Walt Pitts and Judy Shapiro, who took me up on that offer in the last episode and added their ratings and comments there. So yes, I may even give you a shout out if you go to iTunes, search for Artist Empowerment Radio or Bob Baker Podcast, find it there and rate it. And leave a comment if you feel like it too. That would be great. As I record this, it's actually Halloween 2012, although this probably won't hit the digital airwaves until November 1st or so. But I wanted to let you know that I'm actually, next week, I'm going to be frantically, I suppose, creating a new product that I was just inspired to do because I've never done anything like this. But basically, it's going to be about holiday music marketing. So, yep, there I go, focusing on music again. But this one's going to be about how to sell more music, book more gigs, and make more money during the holiday season. I just, through my email list, put out a plea for success stories and examples. Been getting a lot of good ones. And so if you're listening to this and it's within a week, you know, the first week of November, and you've got a good success story about how you have used the holiday season to come up with a creative idea to engage with your fans and sell more music or attract more people to your events, I would love to hear about it. If I use your example, I will give you free access to this new resource when it is released very soon because we're upon the holiday season now. So get in touch if you got something to share in that area. And as I mentioned, I got the word out about this holiday music thing through my email list. And so if I'm not communicating with you by email, I would like to remedy that situation right now. If you're a musician, go to thebuzzfactor.com and click on the little e-zine tab at the top of the page. If you're a writer, aspiring, or published author, go to fulltimeauthor.com and sign up for the email newsletter there. Just would love to stay in touch. Okay, in this episode, I'm featuring part two of my interview with Mr. Billy, who is a children's music artist, and he is quite the independent, self-reliant dynamo. And in this one is really great because he talks a lot about live shows. This is how he books a lot of his active touring schedule at libraries and schools. And even if you're not a kids artist whatsoever, you're going to learn a lot from this about how he books gigs, how he interacts with the audience, how he actually has them use their smartphones and their text messaging capabilities to interact with him during the show. Because it's just really some cool stuff here that no matter what you do, you're going to learn a lot by listening to this interview with Mr. Billy. A little footnote, I actually did this recording with him or this interview a little over a year ago when he passed through St. Louis, and yeah, I was kind of lame. It just fell off my radar, and I probably got wrapped up in the holidays last year and never got this out to the public until now. So he makes some references on there to doing 12 CDs in 12 months, which he's actually in the middle of doing. I think he's got like 8 or 9 of them out now for 2012. But so he's talking about it in future tense, but he's actually most of the way through that process. So just keep that in mind as you listen to this. It was recorded a little bit over a year ago. So without further ado, let's dive into part two of my interview with Mr. Billy. Live performance is a big part of what your current business model. How many gigs do you do a year?
Average about 250.
That's a lot.
Yeah. The most I did in a year was 423.
Wow.
And that's multiple shows in a day. So, like, when I'm on the road, I'll do, like, two school shows in the morning, two school shows in the afternoon, and then occasionally I'll do a parent night show. In the summers, I do libraries, and I'll try to do about 3 libraries a day. I used to do more, but I'm getting older. And, you know, 5-6 shows a day now is not as appealing as it was 10 years ago. You know, so
it's a little bit rough. Yeah.
But I do a lot of shows. The one nice thing about my shows, though, I have very small equipment because, again, I'm working for kids. Mm-hmm. And I work with very portable, very state-of-the-art equipment that gets me in and out fast. And my shows are only 45 minutes each. So I can set up in 10, 15 minutes. I could tear down in 10 or 15 minutes. And there's no smoking, which is great for my voice. And in the summer, I do library, so there's usually air conditioning.
Wow, cool.
Which I love.
Cool. And you have a pretty captive audience, I guess, most of the time. You know, the younger ones could probably be distracted. Or
Not when you're Everyone rocking. Watches Mr. Billy. Mm-hmm. I command attention. And one of the ways to do that is keeping them engaged and active. So I just don't sing songs. Again, knowing your audience. We talk about knowing your audience.
Right.
I make sure that there's an action, an interaction, something that has the kids have to do in every song, and that keeps them involved.
Next, actually can work for adult audiences too.
Well, it's funny you should mention that.
Yeah.
A lot of people, when I started, said, "Man, how did you get so good so fast working with kids?" They said, "You know why? Because I played in bars, working with people under the influence of alcohol for 20 years,
yeah.
And it's a lot like working with preschoolers."
Yeah, I'm making a lot of similarities.
It is. It's. I do almost the exact same show without, you know, talking about, you know, sex, drugs, and, you know,
yeah,
all that stuff. You know, it's the same kind of presentation, except we sing about dinosaurs now.
Although that would probably interest some adults too. I would be hip to a dinosaur song. But the whole thing about engaging people, the live performance, that's not just about doing cover songs of your album. It's about what can you add in the live situation.
It's like Tom Jackson. You're familiar with Tom Jackson?
Oh, sure.
Yeah, you know, it's creating moments. And, you know, it's really funny. All this stuff is coming out now. It's like, you know, all the things that people talk about, you know, the creating moments and the engaging and the marketing. You know, I've been doing this stuff for like 30 years. I didn't realize there were names for these things, you know.
Yeah.
And now I'm finding out, you know, well, you're engaging the audience through the use of social media and whatever, interaction. And I'm like, really?
It's just common sense, right?
I just did whatever it took to get the people to look at me.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
pay attention.
You know, that's really why I got into the music business in the first place, was because, I'll digress just a little bit because it's pretty funny. When I was 9 years old, when I first started, my uncles would come over with acoustic guitars, and when they would bring over their acoustic guitars and sing on Friday nights, everybody stopped paying attention to me.
Mm.
So I realized if I wanted everybody to pay attention to me, I needed a guitar.
Rule number one, yeah.
And I haven't changed.
Well, while we're on the gig, so I know a lot of people, whether they're breaking into kids' music or some other genre, I know they're also baffled by, well, how do you break into that? How do you get bookings? I mean, is there any, have you learned through trial and error, like the best way to get the attention of these librarians or these school people to hire you? Because everybody, you know, is probably afraid that, oh, there's no budget. And is there any quick insider tip?
Yes. And this goes for selling merchandise or booking a live show.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure whatever you're selling, somebody actually wants to buy it.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. And that's really it. I mean, I ask a lot of questions. I kind of poll people and say, so any kind of music you're looking for, what kind of show would you like? And then I develop my shows, my themes, mm-hmm, and my music that I record based on what the needs are. Usually when I take a guess and just do it for fun, it usually flops. But if I know what they're looking for, like, for instance, my big thing for the last 10 years has been called the 6 traits of writing. 6 traits of writing is something that all the schools in the country do. It's a program. And one day a teacher 10 years ago asked me, could I write a song about 6 traits of writing? So I did. And I turned it into a show. And honestly, that's where I made most of my money in schools for the last 10 years, is doing that. Just last month, I finally got around to recording the whole CD.
Oh, wow.
So my new CD coming out is going to be called 6 Traits Rock, and I'm already taking orders like crazy. I think it's going to be my biggest seller. But there's a need for it. People want it, and nobody else has done it. I don't understand. In 10 years, there's no other artist out there has done it. Now I have, so hopefully I'll be able to cash in a little bit and do some good work.
Yeah, and we actually talked about this a bit in our conversation before the recording started, about how just listening to your audience, asking them, what do you want, and then supplying that. What are some examples of ways that you have done that with either songs or album themes?
Well, with album themes, it's really easy because for libraries, there's an organization that determines what the theme is going to be every year. And all I got to do is go on their website and see what the theme is for next year or the year after. And then I write 10 songs, and I record a CD, and I send out, I have about, I don't know, I've got maybe 20-some-odd thousand people on my mailing list right now, and it's still growing.
Wow, great.
And I'm in contact with everybody constantly. And I sent about a note that said, and I'll split it up into different categories. So I'll send an email blast out just to libraries. It'll say, new summer reading CD available, pre-order now. And it's something they want because this is the theme they're going to use. And a lot of people don't do that, so I'm still kind of outstanding in my field, I guess, you know? So that's one way. With schools, teachers just basically say, I wish we had a program about bullying. I wish we had a program about math. I wish we had a program about science. And then I just do it. You know, I mean, it's not that hard to do. I've written like 300 songs so far as a children's artist, and I could probably put together a show about anything, you know, so.
And how many albums do you have out with kids?
My 14th kid CD is being released next month.
Wow.
And I've already started CD 15, which will be my summer reading CD.
And you got a couple of ambitious plans. You care to reveal what you're going to do next year?
A long time ago, I heard of a gentleman named Jonathan Colton, who I think recorded like a song a week.
Yeah.
And I thought that was just great. And I thought, I could do that. But I really like making albums, full albums. So what I'm going to do for, and it seems like a no-brainer because we're coming up with 2012. And there's 12 months in a year. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to do a program called something like 12 in 12. And I'm going to write, record, produce, and release 12 original CDs in 1 year. So one a month for a year.
That's amazing.
Yeah, and they're all going to be themed, so they'll be useful for either schools or libraries or parents. And by the recommendations that my fans and my email subscribers have given me, and my social network people are giving me ideas. Mm-hmm. And then with the, also with that, what I want to do is I want to make sure that I'd like to maybe try and get pledges maybe through Kickstarter or something. So these CDs, as I record them, can be donated to schools and libraries that just don't have the money because of all these ridiculous budget cuts in education.
Right.
You know, you can't keep cutting, I mean to get political, but you can't keep cutting education budgets because pretty soon nobody's going to know how to, you know, feed themselves. Because they won't, you know, nobody have taught them, you know, so.
Right. What's it, do you think people that have the disposable income can, pony up and help you get them out and also help get this music into the
exactly, yeah, you know, because, you know, the stuff I do really does, there's an artist named Dr. Jean Feldman, and one thing that she said at one of her keynotes I went to was, you only remember 20% of what you read, but you can retain up to 80% of what you sing.
Mm. Oh, you sing? Oh, really?
Yeah, when you sing it. Well, think about it. Or you know, like, go back to the old commercials. You know, everybody says, you know, a TV commercial, a jingle you haven't heard in 30 years. You know, if I said, you know, you deserve a
break today.
Bingo. Yeah, yeah. You know? Yeah. And because you sang it, whether through your mouth or in your brain. Mm. So with my songs, what we try to do is we try to make the main ideas singable, and the kids can still remember things that their teachers have told them 1,000 times, but wah, 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 wah. But if you're singing it, six traits, rock, you know, it's like, oh, I remember six traits instead of wah, 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 wah.
Right.
You know, so.
So, again, you're reinforcing something that's of value to the teachers who are going to go to their school buyer or whatever and say, we really need to have this because it's helping me.
Yes. Again, it's all about making stuff that people want to buy. Now, every once in a while, I go the selfish artist route.
Yeah.
And I just say, I just want to do something I want to do, and that's all there is to it, because I have to do this. I can't do another educational CD. I'm going to pull my hair out. Because I'm an artist, you know.
Sure.
I want to be creative, and I do it. Right. And those CDs usually don't sell as well, but I like them.
Mm-hmm.
And then it, you know, makes me feel I'm doing what I want to do, too. But I am doing what I want to do. I'm not flipping burgers.
Right.
So, I mean, I'll be happy to write a song about dinosaurs or a song about reading or a song about math or science. It's much more desirable to do that than have to dig a ditch.
Exactly.
My short-term goal is 12 CDs in a year. That's a personal. That's like climbing a mountain. I'm going to climb Mount Everest. That's something I just want to do. Mm-hmm. Don't climb mountains, but I'm going to do this. Mm-hmm. And then, but my big goal for myself is I want to be able to have 1,000 songs, useful songs.
Right.
1,000 useful songs available for sale on the internet by the time I turn 60. So I have about 10 years to accomplish that, and I'm about one-third the way there. So with this 12 CDs, that should push me even farther.
Yeah, that's an awesome. And so I just want, I want to touch on this prolificness that you have demonstrated.
I'm prolific?
Well, 14 CDs in 10 years. I know, you're really going to have your work cut out for you next year to do 12 in 12 months.
I did one in 1 week once.
I was going to say, you able to crank these things out pretty quickly.
Yes.
Now, are they, you keep the quality up, or is there a different children's music? Is it any different than pop music?
The whole genre of children's music runs the gamut from pretty bad to pretty incredible.
Mm-hmm.
There's no real standard. I think that you have to reach a certain level of excellence, but you don't need to reach for perfection. Because when you're reaching for perfection, you're never going to get there anyway. So you have to find, you have to figure out what's good enough.
Mm-hmm.
But good enough doesn't mean crap.
Right, right.
Good enough means excellent for you.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's good enough. So the funny thing is the CD that I did in a week, Rock and Roll Railroad, all about trains. We wrote it, we recorded it on the road, and I actually had it up on the internet for sale in 7 days.
Wow.
Because I had some gigs coming up and I needed the CD done. So desperation, again, helped me to do this. I'd say it's probably my worst mixed and mastered CD.
Right.
And it's a little more sparse than all the other ones. And it's my number three bestseller.
Wow. And wasn't that in conjunction with a Thomas the Train exhibit or some
yes.
kind of a tour?
Yeah,
thing?
I do. In addition to schools and libraries, I'm one of the performers that work with Thomas the Tank Engine when he travels around the country.
Okay.
And it's like a festival, a traveling festival. And they Hit Entertainment contracts me to play there. So, yeah, I get to sell my train CDs there.
Mm.
And that's my third biggest seller. And again, by my standards, I don't think it was my best work.
Mm-hmm.
But who am I to argue with the fans?
Right. Our remaining time here, I definitely want to touch on merch sales, live events and online, and also building the mailing list.
Uh-huh.
So like when you come into a library or school, I don't know if it's, how different is it than a typical club gig where, is the school already like purchasing, or the library already here purchased for their stock, but you can still sell to the parents and the kids?
Right.
Libraries
are great. Libraries and festivals are pretty much the same.
Mm-hmm.
When I show up to a library, I get to set up for the show, and then we set up our merch area. And really, I just do music. I used to sell more things. I used to sell T-shirts and all kinds of stuff. But mostly, with my audience, they're just interested in the music and not the merchandise so much. So we put up a merch area, and I usually give them some type of bonus. For buying live, like online, my products are 15, but if you come to the shows, they're 10. And if you buy, let's say, three,
mm-hmm.
you get like one for free. So, I mean, it's a great deal.
Oh, right,
And I make sure people know that to encourage them to come to the shows so that we get better crowds at the shows because they want to buy the products for less money, which
so
is really great.
The CDs are 15 probably plus shipping, I guess, on from your website or just for our
right? Yeah, they're 15 plus shipping, right?
And so at the shows, if they buy a single CD, they're only $10.
It's only
each,
$10.
But if they buy three for $30, they get a fourth one free.
No, actually, I'll give them all three for $20.
Oh, really?
It's a great deal. But if you think about it, there's no shipping. They're right there.
Right. Yeah.
And plus, it just makes them fans for life.
So you buy two and you get one free. Yeah.
Think about it. Yeah. Because for me, it's really the difference between making a $10 sale and a $20 sale.
You double your income.
I double income instantly just by that. But it's like, once you tell them, well, it's $10. But, if you buy two, you get the third one, and that $20 bill comes out every time.
Right.
So, and I'm still selling above wholesale. So it's pretty brilliant. And then I'll usually give them like a free poster or a blow-up guitar, something that the kids would really like, just whatever it takes to get them to do it. Or a lot of times what I'll do is I'll give them the blow-up guitar or the poster if they sign my mailing list at the shows.
Mm-hmm.
We try to really get a lot of names at the shows, okay? Well, schools, real quickly, you can't sell CDs at school shows because the kids come in and the teachers come in and they leave. So the trick to selling CDs at schools is when you book a school show, if you're willing, you say, hey, I'll come and do a couple school shows. And if you book two shows, tell you what, I'll come back at night and do a free show.
Oh, yeah, for the parents.
You're there anyway.
Yeah.
And I'm set up. And then the parents come out, and the kids love me already. And then, boom, I sell more CDs at the parent shows at my free show.
Right.
But it's funny because it's like a triple-edged marketing technique. They call me for one show. I'll say, yeah, I can do one show. And I say, how many students do you have at your school? So we have 500 kids. Say, oh, I can only do 300 at a time.
Right.
Not really, but
Right.
And I say, but if you book two shows, it's a little bit of a discount. And I'll tell you what, if you book the two, I'll give you a third one for free at night, which I want to do the third one for free at night because I want to sell my CDs and get people in the mailing list.
Brilliant, yeah.
Yeah, and that works out really good for me. Okay, now, social media. Now, I do something really interesting that we didn't discuss before I'd like to share with your listeners.
Sure, sure.
It has to do with social media. And being a kids artist in social media is really tricky, but I found the key. A lot of entertainers have a real problem with people bringing their cell phones to their gigs. So what I decided to do is not to fight it.
Mm-hmm.
So when the parents come in, first of all, these things are awesome, these cell phones. They love them. I love my iPhone. You love your iPhone.
We all
love
our one right now.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We love our iPhones. And to have somebody tell you can't hold your iPhone, it's like, ooh,
yeah.
I don't know. So what I do is I go to the shows, and the first thing I say is, all right, everybody out there, take out your iPhones. Like, oh, okay, here it comes. Take out your phones. And I say, make sure you keep them on. And they're like looking at me going, huh? And I say, and during the show, you can use your iPhones to do the following things. One, if you want to text me and give me requests or make comments or tell me if it's your kid's birthday or whatever, you can text me during the show and I have my phone number up. And then people will text me during the show and I'll actually pick up the phone because it's better than having people walk up. It's
right.
You know, but I can pick it up and say, okay, let's, hey, look, it's Bobby's birthday. And that's awesome. And by the way, now I have their phone number. And then after the show, I text them back and I say, is it okay if I put you on my text list?
Oh, cool. Yeah.
So that's how I gather text numbers.
Nice. Okay. And do you use a service to deliver those in bulk? Whatever?
Well, yes and no. Right now, I have been a database, and I'll just use my cellular carrier texting account for now. But I'm going to actually be switching to a service, and I'm researching those right now.
Okay, cool.
Okay? But it works beautifully.
Yeah, nice.
Okay? Then, because a lot of people don't answer the emails anymore. They're really into their Facebook account or texting. So let's use what they want. See, it's all about them. It's not about you.
Exactly, yeah.
As soon as I figured out it wasn't about me anymore, I've been doing pretty good, you know?
That's the key.
Yeah, it's key. And then the next thing, at the show, I say, now during the show, if you have an iPhone or a smartphone, you can take pictures. And I make a contest for the grown-ups. And now they're totally engaged in the show. I say, whoever takes the most pictures or videos and posts it up on my Facebook account, by the end of the show, whoever shows me Facebook on their phone and has the most pictures, I'm going to give you a prize worth $10, which is the CD called Free Prize. I showed you that earlier.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And it's a special giveaway CD we have. And so I've got, like, you know, 20, 30 parents running around taking videos and taking pictures and having their kids come up to the cameras, and now their kids are interacting. And at the end, they're all coming up showing me how many they did, and somebody gets the CD. And that's how I get more people to like my Facebook page, get people on Facebook, get them involved in Twitter and all the social media. So that way, you know, the kids shouldn't be on those if they're too young.
Right.
So I wouldn't get the parents interested. Right. But I get them involved at the show, because otherwise they're just going to be sitting there texting and playing Angry Birds at the show anyway. So you might as well use it to do some marketing.
Absolutely.
So that's my little new thing that I've been doing that I'm very proud of.
And another thing you can do with adults too. Right? Yeah.
Got to engage the adults because my ultimate goal is to get the adults so excited about my show that they're going to suggest to the kids, "Hey, you want to go see Mr. Billy? Because we had so much fun."
That's awesome.
It's fun. You know?
But you still do collect the emails, though, right? I mean, even though I don't.
Oh, absolutely. Well, that's what the sign up sheet's for.
Yeah.
So actually, I'm collecting three different types of data at every show. I collect email addresses on a hard list that ideally we pass around. That's the best thing.
Yeah.
Some libraries frown on that, but when you can pass it around, it's always the best.
Like a clipboard and stuff.
Clipboard. Yeah, I got it on a clipboard. And then the second way I gather information is by people liking my Facebook page and uploading videos and pictures, which is wonderful. And the third way is I gather texts when they send up requests and tell me about their kids' birthdays and stuff like that.
Awesome.
So,
Do you have an incentive for signing up on the email list? I mean, can they get a free download or anything? Or?
Yeah, actually, everybody that signs up, the first email, the welcome email, which hopefully you all are sending welcome emails.
Yes.
Just don't put people right in the stream in the middle. You got to say, hi, thanks for signing up. I'm really glad you signed up, Pam, and make sure you have a program you can put their name in.
Right.
Hello, Pam, you rock. And here's your three free songs. And I give them three songs for signing up.
Cool.
Which is great, because then the people can't afford a CD know that they'll sign up and they'll still get some music for free. And then I can keep connecting with them, let them know when the shows are, what contests I'm running, ask them for suggestions, what song should I record next, what album should I record next.
Man.
You know, I involve my fans as much as possible.
You're doing it all. You're like you exemplify the DIY proactive mentality and approach that I've been preaching about for years.
I'm one of your disciples. Yeah. I'm you made me what I am, Bob.
I wouldn't say that. I think you were well on this path prior. If I just nudged you here and there.
You did more than nudge, man. Hey, no, really, honestly.
Yeah, you actually have a lot of energy, a lot of passion for what you do. A smart guy. You're doing all the right things. Anything else we didn't cover? Or also, where can people find you online? And any final thoughts that we didn't cover you want to add?
Sure. I'd say whatever it is that you want to do in music, and by the way, I did do a lot of the same things that I'm doing now I did with my rock band career before I did kids music, because some of my friends that are in music say, well, of course you're selling music. it's for kids, and kids buy things, but nobody's going to buy my album. Mm. You know, I do blues, or I do rock, and, you know, you can't do that stuff. But I got to tell you, you know, the first two CDs I made as a rock and roll artist, I didn't spend a dime to record them or release them, because before fan funding, back in the early 90s, I was pre-selling CDs with incentives. I sold thousands back then of CDs as Billy Zack and the Attack. So, you know, so I've seen both sides. So, you know, you can't say, well, you're just a kid's artist.
Right, right.
So I just want to get that right up front. There's no excuse. You can find a way. Everybody can find a way if you're willing to try. So I guess what I would say is do what you do. Do what you love. Do it well. Don't stop doing it. And always try to do it differently. If everybody is doing this, everybody's going right, you go left. Because, you know, you'll be the one that they'll remember, you know, and everybody else is all in this big herd. You know what I'm saying?
Right, oh yeah.
And so you want to be out there doing something different. And people can find me at my website, which is www.MrBilly.com. Spell it out, no abbreviations. MisterBilly.com. You can also find me on Facebook, YouTube, Mr. Billy Rocks. And that's also my Twitter handle, and I'm all over the place. If you do a YouTube search, I should be everywhere. And you can find me on CD Baby, and please leave comments on iTunes and CD Baby, because I'd love to hear what people think of my music.
Absolutely. This has been great. We finally, Mr. Billy meets Mr. Buzz Factor.
The mighty Mr. Buzz Factor.
And the mighty Mr. Billy. This was a pleasure. Thank you so much. Continued success. I'm sure we'll stay in touch.
And sure.
Really appreciate the interview.
Excellent. Thank
you.
Thanks.
Where in the world am I? Where in the world am I? I'll tell you what I see so you can help me. Where in the world am I? I can see palm trees and coconuts, beautiful beaches and surfing bus, a series of islands.